as an industry at large, we've got to recognize that when it comes to cybersecurity threats, we cannot keep our cards close to our chest at all. We have to share openly, and we have to share in real time in order to fight back.
This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, this is Jennifer Tribe, and you're listening to episode 56 of Frankly MSP, the podcast for managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability. This will be our last regular episode of 2019, but watch for a couple of short bonus episodes that will drop over the holidays to tide you over to the new year. Then we'll be back in your ears on January 9th, which incidentally will be just 1 week before Frankly MSP Live in Santa Barbara, California. There is still time to grab tickets to the event, and if you use promo code HOLIYAY, that's HOLIYAY, you can get $300 off your ticket. I'm going to be doing a podcast interview live on stage with a surprise guest, and you'll have the chance to hear from and mix and mingle with many people we've had on the show in the last year, including author Mike Michalowicz, MSPs Luis Alvarez and Josh Weiss, consultant Eric Simpson, and many fresh faces as well. That special promo code again is HOLIYAY, HOLIYAY, to get $300 off your registration at franklymsplive.com. My guest today is MJ Shore, the recently appointed executive director of the TSP ISAO. We're going to be talking about this new ISAO, Information Sharing and Analysis Organization, in detail, what it is, who's behind it, how it works, and why you as an MSP absolutely need to join it as soon as you're done listening to this podcast. MJ ran his own MSP for almost 20 years, selling it in 2015. He's now the lead coach for the ASCII Insider Peer Group, also a coach for Taylor Business Group. Served as chairman of the board for CompTIA, along with many other credentials too numerous to list here. So very, very involved in the industry and a logical choice to head up this new cross-vendor community-wide ISAO. In this chat, you'll hear mention of Perch Security, who are playing a critical role in the ISAO. If you haven't done so already, I recommend you go back and listen to episode 51 of this podcast, where I talked to Wes Spencer at Perch about the spate of MSP-targeted ransomware attacks and some of the steps you can take to protect yourself. Now, with the official launch of the TSP ISAO, you can add to Wes's list with one more solid way to join together with other MSPs to fight back.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avic Networks.
Welcome to Frankly MSP, MJ.
Thanks. Great to be here, Jennifer.
So we're going to talk today about the newly formed TSP ISAO. It's quite a mouthful, TSP-ISAO. But first, for some of our listeners who may not be familiar with what an ISAO is, that stands for Information Sharing and Analysis Organization. Tell us a little bit about what they are.
Sure. So an ISAO is designed for sharing threat intelligence. They originally came in the form of what were typically called ISACs. So there's both an ISAC with a C and an ISAO with an O. The ISACs are Information Sharing and Analysis Centers, and the ISAOs are Information Sharing and Analysis Organizations. It's very much semantics, but the ISACs are typically more finely focused on an element of critical infrastructure, be it financial services, electric utilities, natural gas transmission, etc. ISAOs tend to be more umbrella type of setups, more broadly focused on an industry, not on a very specific sector within the industry. But what we've done is we formed what we're calling the technology service provider, ISAO. And within that umbrella, we're including MSPs, MSSPs, CSPs, TSPs, basically anyone in the IT channel that is delivering products or services to SMB clients, SMB customers. There's no organization that's really focused on that segment. As a former MSP myself, we've kind of been left to our own devices to figure out this cybersecurity challenge. And what the ISAO is here to do is to help take that burden off the individual MSP and do the analysis of the threats that are out there and provide you with actionable threat intelligence to keep both yourself and your customers secure in the face of the growing threat landscape out there.
How did this organization come about? Because I know this is fairly recent, just in the last maybe month or two that this was formed. So how did it come about?
The initial discussions started happening, over the last year. ConnectWise has obviously been a driver behind it, but Datto, Kaseya, SolarWinds, all the other major players in the industry, organizations like Avic, like Huntress Labs, Sophos, et cetera, you know, have all been loosely engaged in conversation around this idea. And ConnectWise simply volunteered to put some resources to get this up and running and off the ground. It was announced initially back in August. There was a press release announcing that this was coming, and then it was formally launched in November at IT Nation, and we very quickly garnered about 500 members just from that event. But we're going to do some additional launch events, bringing in some of the other organizations that are stepping up to support the organization, because the key message of the ISAO is that it's intentionally designed to be an independent nonprofit organization. It will be governed by an independent board of directors that will be made up of competitors across the IT industry, the IT channel, all driving for the common good of everyone from the vendors to the service delivery partners that are helping the small and medium-sized businesses secure themselves.
I'm glad that you mentioned all of that background detail, because I wasn't aware of the way that some of the other players had been involved in forming this. The news that I have seen has been that ConnectWise made the initial $250,000 investment, that Perch Security is being used as the sort of information platform. And of course, ConnectWise is on the board of directors and is an investor in Perch Security. So I was wondering about whether this was going to be very vendor specific and whether there were concerns from some of the other vendors that it would be too vendor specific.
Yeah, I mean, I think hindsight's always crystal clear. The way that the announcement was made at IT Nation was perhaps not as clear as we wanted it to be. Just to clarify a couple of things that you mentioned, ConnectWise has not funded the TSP ISAO. That initial funding that was announced at IT Nation was given by Arnie and Lauren Bellini. Arnie, of course, being the former co-founder of ConnectWise, but it was done through their foundation, the Bellini Foundation, which is a philanthropic foundation, completely independent of ConnectWise, has nothing to do with ConnectWise. Arnie approached ConnectWise with the intent of himself and his wife to make that initial funding donation and asked if ConnectWise would contribute some logistical resources by way of personnel to help get things up and running. So that's where the involvement has been from ConnectWise. And unfortunately, because it was unveiled at IT Nation, a lot of the reporting has inaccurately represented that the TSP ISAO is either owned by ConnectWise or run by ConnectWise. And both of those are false understandings. It is a 501c6 currently, in a completely independent nonprofit. I was hired as the executive director to run it, get it up off the ground, and start communicating the message and the mission. And so I've been talking with many of the other organizations that have been involved in the discussions and want to continue to be involved and be backers of this organization. But we're definitely going to do a sort of secondary launch of some sort, if you will, just to clarify that messaging, because it unfortunately and unintentionally made it look like the TSP ISAO is a ConnectWise organization, and it's not. For this to be successful, everyone needs to understand that it is its own independent entity, and the success of the ISAO will be wholly dependent on the membership. Both vendors and MSPs, CSPs, MSSPs, TSPs, we'll just say TSP to catch everybody.
Yeah, I'm glad we had the opportunity then to clarify some of those points. So that's great. I also know that the ISAO.org organization, right, is sort of an arm of the US government. So how does that fit in with your mandate? Are you looking for this ISOW to be global or primarily focused on the US, or what are you doing there?
Well, we're going to focus on North America initially, but it absolutely will be global in scope. And I hope to have more information to share on that over the next several weeks. But basically, you know, ISOWs, this whole concept was originally put together under the Department of Homeland Security. And so the ISOW Standards Organization grew out from that. And then the individual organizations have started forming over the last couple of years. So while we're not part of any government agency or government mandate, but we operate under the auspices of the framework put together by the Department of Homeland Security for gathering and sharing this information. So, you know, some of the obvious things are the ISOW as a nonprofit, its mission is not to make money beyond just what it needs to support its operations. It will be owned by the collective membership of vendors and TSPs, and it will operate within the guidelines of the ISOW Standards Organization and Department of Homeland Security, because one of the things that we're going to be doing is assembling information from both private and public sources. If your listeners are at all familiar with the FBI's InfraGuard program, I sort of think of it similar to that, in that is a public-private partnership where members contribute information and the FBI correlates it and determines the validity and then communicates it out to the appropriate constituencies. That's exactly what an ISOW looks to do. So we're going to be pulling in feeds from all of the available government sources, as well as vendor sources. And we're even hoping that as TSPs get involved, that they will have threat intelligence of their own that they uncover in their customer base that they will share. It really is intended to be a bi-directional sharing engine. The reason that we selected Perch Security, you're 100% correct. You know, ConnectWise has an investment in Perch and sits on Perch's board, but Perch was selected because they actually have experience working with ISACs and ISOWs. Perch has been very involved in a couple of the ISACs and helping them create their information sharing platform and their community and sharing and analyzing the information. So it only made sense to select Perch, given that they had that experience and have done it before. It helps us get up and running much more quickly than if we had to go out and determine who the best platform may be. Now, that's not to say that the platform could change in the future, but to get it off the ground and to have it be substantive and to start delivering value to the members as soon as possible, it just made all the sense in the world to go with an organization that had experience doing this.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avik Networks.
So how would a TSP or an MSP access this feed of information that Perch is going to ingest and collate?
Initially, anyone who is already a Perch, a client of Perch, they'll just get access to this as an additional community within the Perch platform. But all the other members who have signed up to be part of the TSP ISOW will be getting information to connect and log in to the Perch platform. And there will be a dedicated TSP ISOW community there where this information will be correlated and shared. Initially, it's going to require the TSPs to set up an account in Perch and log in. And this is all at no charge. As we announced, there'll be no charge for TSP membership for the first year. And we're projecting membership at $99 annually. We want this to absolutely be a no-brainer from a cost perspective. But as I said, initially, you know, it'll require the TSPs to log into the Perch community and consume the information. The goal is to push it proactively out into the TSP community, whatever platform they're using for their ticketing, for their PSA engine, to have the information flow in via tickets to alert them that there is an actionable threat out there to pay attention to. And then ultimately, you know, the goal is to fully automate this as much as possible and leverage emerging concepts and technologies like SOAR to really make this a dynamic and interactive sharing of information. But that's going to take a couple of years. That's not where we are out of the gate. Those are some of the lofty goals that we have for the organization.
So people will log into the Perch Security platform to access the information. What kind of information can they expect about these threats? Is there a profile of the threat? Are there suggestions for how to deal with the threat? What is included?
Spot on. There'll be a profile of the threat, obviously, to identify the threat and provide enough information for the TSP to consume and understand, you know, what this threat is, what the potential impact is, you know, a risk analysis and impact analysis, but most importantly, actionable remediation steps that the TSP can take, both for their own organization and their customers to protect them from the threat. I can't give you specifics yet because we're still in the design, and I can't tell you specifically right now if it's going to be an article that you have to click on and read, if it's going to be, you know, a bulleted list with a detailed narrative. I think there'll be some combinations thereof, but it has to be in quickly consumable, highly targeted and accurate information that the TSP can understand the nature of the threat. We'll probably wind up categorizing the threats based on the risk. So we'll most likely come up with some type of a categorization scheme, whether it's following a stoplight model or maybe something a little more in depth, like where you have shades of risk. But the objective will be to make this easy to consume, because one of the challenges that I view us as needing to overcome is that, you know, it's interesting. It's not like this information isn't available from different sources today. The problem is TSPs can't possibly consume it efficiently because it's coming from this source and that source and this vendor and that vendor. And they don't have the resources on staff to pull in and correlate all this information themselves. So that's what the TSP ISOW is going to do. And that's some of the expertise that we're going to be leveraging from Perch with their analysis capabilities and their SOC and whatnot that they've built out around this model to do all that work so that when we push it out to the TSP, it will be an absolute valid threat with actionable remediation steps that can be taken to mitigate.
The TSP ISOW is active now. You said you gained about 500 members from ConnectWise IT Nation, which was fantastic. And you said that membership is going to be free for all of 2020, I believe?
That's correct.
So if an MSP wanted to join, how would they go about doing that?
Best is to go to the website, which is www.tsp-isao.org. And right on the website, you can click to join. We tried to make it as easy as can be. So when you get to the website, there's a membership menu at the top, or you can just scroll right on down and there's a button, join today, near the bottom. It's that simple. You just go online, click to join, fill out a very little bit of information. You'll get a message back confirming your submission has been received. And right now what we've committed to all of the members is a monthly update on what the status of the TSP ISOW is. And we committed to get sort of what we're calling a beta platform out there this month in December and start to have a live actionable feed flowing in January of 2020. So we're getting this off the ground very quickly, and we're asking for the members to be as interactive as they can in giving us feedback. You know, is this the right type of information? Is this a good format to consume it? Would you like things changed at all? You know, we're very open to suggestion because, again, when you look at the landscape of ISOWs, the ones that have been successful are successful because the community rallies behind it and the community is very active in helping ensure the success and the quality of the information. So one of my goals is to get a very consistent communication flow with the membership to solicit feedback and make sure that we're delivering value and giving information that's helping them in their business.
The MSP industry has been targeted specifically with attacks, and this is a big issue that's on everyone's minds. And an organization like this is, I think, really going to help the industry sort of band together and fight these attacks in a focused way. I'm wondering if the organization has any long-term goals around what might fall out of that. For example, is there any thinking that members may be able to go to their insurance company and say, you know, I'm a member of this ISOW, therefore
can I get lower insurance premiums?
Great question and great thought and great example. I would love nothing more for this organization to enable those kinds of tangible, positive developments for the membership. This is a critical time for our industry, and I think that this is a critical initiative to help address the threat that the industry faces. You're right. There have been some unfortunate attacks over the last year that have targeted MSPs. I don't expect that those are going to go away anytime soon. You listen to some of the intelligence officials in our government and those who have been in our government talking about this threat and the impact to our industry. And it strikes me as an existential threat to not just our industry, but our economy as a whole. And we need to learn new ways to combat it. The old strategies aren't going to cut it anymore, especially now that we're not flying under the radar anymore. And so we've got to get very creative. We've got to get out in front of it, and we've got to equip MSPs and other service providers with the information and tools that they need to keep their customers safe. So I view this as a really critical undertaking for the industry. Having broad industry support is critical. Having the membership support is critical to accomplishing this goal. As an industry at large, we've got to recognize that when it comes to cybersecurity threats, we cannot keep our cards close to our chest at all. We have to share openly, and we have to share in real time in order to fight back. And there are examples of this through the other organizations and some of the other vertical targets that I mentioned before, where they've been successful at that. And as leaders in the technology space, it's incumbent upon us to embrace this opportunity and ensure that we're raising the cybersecurity resilience of the entire industry together. We can't confront this alone. When you're talking about the nature of some of the threats that we face, you know, we all know some of these attacks have been tied back to nation states. The local MSP is not going to combat a foreign government. Let's face it, the industry as a whole isn't necessarily going to be able to combat that. But if we band together through this type of initiative and do everything in our power to openly share and raise everybody's game, we're going to make it more difficult for them to actually succeed at what they're doing. And we need to make it difficult enough that they stop coming at us. Now, will we be able to prevent it 100%? I don't think so. I think anybody who tells you you can confront a cybersecurity threat 100%, you should run away from. But we have an obligation to our industry, to our fellow MSPs, to the vendor partners that have been so critical to our collective success over the years, to our customers. We have an obligation to do everything in our power to combat this threat and help them be as safe as possible. And yes, in doing so, we should expect some relief from insurance carriers and others putting increasing pressure on the industry. Good for them for recognizing it, to raise its game. And as we respond, we should see results from that, whether it's in premiums or just other beneficial avenues in making sure that we're able to keep our clients safe, which will help them with their customers. This touches everybody. It doesn't matter if you're in a major metro or a rural town. This is something that affects us all. And I truly believe this is bigger than any one of us and any one of our organizations. We truly have to band together as an industry to help protect the very viability of our local economies.
I think the TSP ISOW is a fantastic initiative, and I'm very optimistic about how it can help the industry in the years to come. So thank you, MJ, for your part in helping to get it off the ground. And thank you so much for joining us today to tell us more about it.
Thanks, Jennifer. I really appreciate the opportunity to do so. I'm really couldn't be happier to be involved in this. And I hope that I could just play a small part in really making an impact for all of our industry and customers.
That was MJ Shore, channel veteran and executive director of the TSP ISOW. I'll put links to the TSP ISOW's website and a few articles about its launch in today's show notes at avic.com/franklymsp/056. As MJ said, there's no cost to join and the upside of membership is huge. Plus, MJ and the TSP ISOW really want your involvement and feedback, so this is a great chance to contribute to the channel as well. I hope you get some time to relax and spend time with loved ones in the coming weeks. weeks. And listen, don't put off grabbing your Frankly MSP Live tickets using promo code HOLLYAY for $300 off. You know you want to be there. I want you to be there. So register now at franklymsplive.com. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avik Networks, the most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.